Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
You're listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
This is Paul Hawksby.
And Andy Jacobs.
And this is the H&J Daily, with some of the best bits of this afternoon's show. Well, we were talking about Gunnosaurus. Of course, there was developing news during the day regarding Gunnosaurus. But when we spoke to the creator of Arsenal's mascot, then 11-year-old Peter Lovell, he was very entertaining, wasn't he?
He was, and it was mascots all the way, as we interviewed the Grimsby mascot, who ran round the stadium for in aid of charity.
He did, virtual yeah. Marathon. For the London Marathon. He was a nice guy. He had his own take on Gunnosaurus. Away from Gunnosaurus, we did major on that today, was Paul Carrick, musician, Sheffield Wednesday fan, the voice of Squeeze during his career, How Long, Mike and the Mechanics, lovely bloke.
Yeah.
We had a good chat with him.
And not a mascot in any sense, but it was good to talk to him.
It was, yeah, yeah. So here it all
clips
is.
Clips of the month.
Well, clips of the month, oh yeah, of course, clips of the month. Here it all is. Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, Andy.
Good afternoon, Paul. And I don't know if you saw the front page story of the in the Sun today about George Michael's former boyfriend, Kenny Goss, insists he's still entitled to a massive monthly allowance 11 years after the couple split. I always thought he should
I wasn't expecting you to start there
the day
after
I'm bringing, it back to sport. Okay, just be patient.
Fair enough.
Just be,
okay.
I always thought he should be the manager of Macclesfield, where he'd be Mac Boss Kenny Goss.
What, like Macclesfield boss Dave
Moss? Dave Moss, yeah, exactly.
That always, you got to have a system. Yeah.
And
did you see, of all the transfer stories, Andy, the best have to be Albert Adoma's reason for going back to QPR, apart from the fact he's a QPR fan. But
he comes from that. He used to play for our local team.
Did he really?
I went to the local school, yeah.
Oh, right. He's quids in, Albert, because he said he was in White City the other week and was going to buy the club shirt in the shop.
Oh, right. Okay.
But he said, I'll hang on. He said, now I'm getting one for free. So all the reasons to move from a club, that's a pretty good one, isn't it?
It is. And I don't know about it. Whenever anybody wears a sheepskin, of course, you know who they're going to be compared to. And Abby Clancy, Peter Crouch's wife, was wearing a very particularly nice sheepskin. But it says, Abby does a Motty. Then Motty look fab for Ab. Honestly.
Yeah. Has ever a man
model,
been...
Abby Clancy embraces her inner John Motson. I don't know what that is.
It's not a comparison that's often made, is it, really? I suppose it's football-related because of Peter and stuff, so I suppose it works from that point.
It sort of does. I remember when Motty came to Cheltenham, not Chelmsford.
He never came to Chelmsford. You went racing at Chelmsford.
Just give up.
How many people have you maimed in Chelmsford?
Ridiculous. Yeah. Anyway, when he came to Cheltenham and I put on the jacket.
You put his coat on.
I put his coat on. Yeah. It was a good feeling. There's no question about it.
Did you get superpowers? Did you suddenly, were there lots of stats immediately coming to mind? It's like Billy's boots.
You have to say.
The minute you put it on, everything is statistical. That's the fourth time I've had a cup of tea this week.
That's right.
Can't help yourself. The whole world is led by stats.
That's true. Yeah. And looking at the court circular, it's good to see the royal family getting back to work now after doing a lot of Zoom meetings and such. Yeah. And the Duke of Kent, our old friend there, yesterday received Mr. Stephen Nyman.
That was quite brave of you, considering how you've been getting all the words wrong. That could have been a career ender.
Wouldn't be the first time. Kensington Palace.
We're not venturing into the rural parts of Kent this afternoon, are we?
No, we're not.
In any of your stories?
No, we're not.
Good, that's good. We're safe.
The Duke of Kent patron of the Hanover Band, this morning received...
The Hanover Band?
Yeah, Mr. Stephen Nyman, on the occasion of the orchestra's 40th anniversary. And, of course, he only allows them to play one tune. That's the problem here. Da, 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 da.
Does he get the idea there? Hello, Nyman. Is our introduces himself to him? I'd like to think he does. Yeah.
It's still had a bit of sport element to it, there, you would admit.
Yeah.
And
were you expecting any business? Well, I suppose you lost a player. Well, you didn't lose a player. Loftus-Cheek went to Fulham, didn't he?
Yeah, I was going to talk about all that with it when we do it with John Cross.
Okay, if you've got more fluff.
No, I've got more fluff. People like a bit of fluff. They've had quite a lot of transfer news.
We got some hard-hitting sports news
for
you.
Now, I owe Lisa O'Sullivan a little bit of an apology yesterday. Because I sort of, when she said, whatever this tennis player, what her name was, I can't even remember now. But anyway, this one of these players, Siegmund.
That's right, yeah, German player.
German player.
She was Siegmund, yeah.
Laura Siegmund, yes. She was she was having a pot of noodles.
She was a pot of noodles.
And I said, oh no, surely that's a pot noodle rather than a pot noodle. It wasn't. Lisa was right. It was a pot of noodles. She's having egg fried rice today, apparently. Yeah,
it looked like someone had run out to Wagamama's for her. But we did think it's a bit of an odd thing to have. I mean, if you've we had years and years ago we just got chatting about various stuff, and somebody phoned in one Friday night a long time ago and said that that his Sunday team wasn't going too well, and at half time they've been on the ale, they were all a bit dehydrated, but he handed round some of his mum's rock cakes and they went out and won the game.
He was a bit dry,
yeah, a bit cloying at half time in a game when you've probably had a skimful the night before. Deal. But they were a game changer for them. But I mean, if the idea of, you know, if you go and watch the footage, it's not just, you know, she has an energy bar and that doesn't sate her, does it? So no. She looks up to the box again, get me something to eat, because the other player was having some treatment. She was having a medical time out.
Yeah.
So it was such a long medical time out. She could have had a three-course meal. Could have gone back to the buffet.
She's right,
though.
You have to listen to your body. She said she felt, you know, she wanted mashed potato. She wanted some sort of carb infusion.
They didn't have mashed potato there. Andy Smart's eating it all. So, all the world's mashed potato.
Yeah,
but
true.
They did have some noodles. So they went and got her. But she was golloping it down. She must have had terrible indigestion.
Yeah. You wouldn't imagine it was great for her.
She was slinging it down her neck because he obviously knew she didn't have a great deal of time.
She won 7-5-6-2.
That's
over
right.
Paula Badoza.
Okay.
We'd be delighted to know that.
Maybe we can. Lisa told us what was going on yesterday. But we wondered if it was a pot noodle. Maybe she was a student or something. Anyway, we can talk to Lisa now. She's going to keep us in touch with the French Open. It is quite an amazing story. Have you ever seen anything like that before, Lisa? I mean, we see players having a banana or an energy bar, etc., but not a full-blown meal, generally, do we, while they're sitting courtside halfway through a match?
No, it's really quite remarkable. I have seen at the US Open before players bringing on Starbucks.
Really?
Really?
But yeah, because they have them there, but they were kind of like a fruity tea kind of drink rather than a mocha chocolate.
Exactly. It wouldn't be great for running about.
Get your buzzing. You'd have that little caffeine drop, though, in the fifth test.
Double espresso for that.
That's right.
But it was interesting because the chair umpire, Fergus Murphy, was speaking to her after the match, and he said, oh, I've never seen anyone order a Chinese before while they're playing tennis.
That's what I said, she can have egg fried rice today.
It was impressive. Yeah, they'd be holding up numbers, weren't they, soon, just from the bench to tell the coaches what they want.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Well, on a day when everybody was talking about the transfer window, possibly because they thought it was a good day to bury bad news, Arsenal decided to lay off Gunnosaurus, their beloved mascot of many years and the man inside the suit.
On the same day, they spent $45 million on a player. It's not great, is it?
Whatever it cost them, in terms of bad PR, it probably wasn't great value for money. We've seen a lot of the fans upset. We've even seen a kind of crowdfunding page, which has already got about 10 grand in it, raising funds to save Gunnosaurus. We had Piers Morgan and Holly Willoughby and Jack White all weighing in on it. So we thought we would chat to the person whose creation it was. It was then 11-year-old Peter Lovell.
It's a great story.
It was a club competition and he won it, and he joins us now. Good afternoon, Peter.
Hello, guys.
Yeah, good to talk to you. To first take us back to how your mascot was the one that has appeared at Arsenal for all these years.
Obviously, it's so amazing just to hear you even just recount that. I have to pinch myself. But like you say, it's wonderful they hosted a competition the Junior Gunners competition to design a mascot, and I, at the time, little 11-year-old lad, was really into Jurassic Park and Arsenal, so I just sat down on the table and drew this kind of Barney-esque, friendly dinosaur, and, you know, suddenly Gunnosaurus Rex, the name came to me, and we sent it off, and yeah, messages left because there's no phone, mobile phones in those days at a hotel reception to say, Arsenal have called and you've won the competition. And it was like, wow, what the hell's going on? What a crazy, crazy thing to live through. And it's been so cool ever since, really.
And it captured the imagination, because rarely do mascots last this long, really. They're always tweaked or redesigned along the way. But, I mean, he's had some longevity, hasn't he?
He really has. And I think, you know, you list in there some of the kind of fallout from this. This cruel, like, as you said, strange, flabbergasting decision to what they've done. I think that comes because he is so loved, and it's just one of those moments where whatever I put down on paper just kind of went so well into the kind of psyche of everybody. It was just the right kind of mascot for that club, and he's just so cool. I mean, I know I'm a little bit biased, but he's the best mascot in the whole sporting world. And,
you are biased.
What they've done today is like, What's that all about, guys? Well, you know, yesterday's decision just seems insane to me. Absolutely flabbergasted.
Your original design, it's amazing how closely they followed it, exactly. And, you know, it was a fine piece of work for somebody of 11 years old. I mean, did you go on to do that sort of thing? What did you go on to do?
Well, thank you for that. They only changed the colour, didn't they? So I think it is pretty true to the original concept. But it's a weird one. I ended up in the creative industry. I work in the computer games industry. Now, you know, fantastic job, really awesome working as a recruitment director for gaming. So kind of combining that, I was always really creative, really liked to draw, and that sort of really helped to inspire me. So credit to Arsenal, you know, for an 11-year-old, it filled me with confidence from that age to win that competition. Really was a life-changing event for me. So I'll always be grateful. Now they just need to bring it back or let me go, either go inside and this poor Jerry can't come back for whatever reason.
The club have kind of kept in touch, haven't they, to the point where they were alerted to your wedding day and you had a surprise guest.
Absolutely, and that was, again, just one of those what is going on moments. Gunnosaurus turned up on the wedding day, and a big reveal. None of us really knew about it, obviously. Only a couple of people knew. My whole family are kind of Arsenal going back generations, so it really was one of these unbelievable moments. And I got to talk to Jerry a little bit inside. You know, it really didn't dawn on me until that moment that it was the same guy that's been doing this for 27 years. And again, you know, wonderfully sort of said, you know, really, you know, my little drawing really changed that chap's life. And
yeah.
Again, it's just a really humbling experience. But also, obviously, being at a wedding, I was pretty drunk. I was very, very kind of cuddly with him and all that kind of stuff. It was a really, truly amazing moment.
Yeah,
it is a strange decision, and you wonder why. The home games are shown, every game is shown at the moment. Why he can't be on the sidelines? I mean, he can be tested like anybody else. He's got that big head on. He's
not going to test a dinosaur for COVID.
Even just watching him, you know, before matches, just you know, high-fiving the players. They're coming off coaches, and it's his presence. He's just got such a great presence, that mascot. That lifts everybody, and I just really can't imagine why you would mothball him over this time. And I think that, you know, Ozil's on, what, $350,000 a week. I'd rather he just took 2 weeks' wages off him and kept Gunnosaurus then for, you know, forever. You know, it just seems so silly. And like I say, commercially and sentimentally, it seems to be a bit of a backfire, obviously, in terms of like what the fans are thinking.
And it's an own goal, I think.
Yeah, I think it is. And you said it's the same guy that when you were 11 that day and you walked around the pitch, you had a chat with him that day, and then he was at the wedding, and it was still the same guy in the suit. He's been doing this for a long time.
Every weekend, you know, religiously for 27 years, how much he's given to that cause. I mean, really, truly amazing guy. I think I read on one of the articles yesterday, something like he missed his brother's wedding or something to still stay true to be, you know, the mascot for the weekend. And obviously loves what he does, really infused with that kind of passion for it. So it does seem really sad. Obviously, I don't know the whole story and to do anything going on in the background, but just in terms of an own goal, like you say, I was flabbergasted by it. And honestly, my phone's been blowing up for 24 hours on it. People just go, I can't believe they've done this.
You know, yeah. How much money could it save, really? It can't save that. It must be, I don't know what he was paid, but I wouldn't imagine it's an absolute fortune because he loved doing it. So,
well, it's going up. I've just looked at it. It's gone up. Maybe it's us talking about it because there's about 150 quid gone on it since we've been chatting. It's just, it's £9,966 now to save Gunnosaurus. A guy, a fan called George Allen has done it on GoFundMe. I mean, they're looking to get 70 grand. I hope that's not what he earns a week because then I could possibly understand it.
But, yeah, I hope people do that. And honestly, if there's any Arsenal players listening or any Premier League players that love that mascot, jump on there. It's petty cash for them. They could really do something to save a guy like that. You know, it's a great thing. And it has to be overturned. Obviously, the mascot's not going to be sunset. But I really hope that Jerry gets that shot again because what a dedication that he's given.
It's very un-Arsenal-like. They've always been brilliant. Junior Gunners has always been brilliant. They've done great work in the community. They're a really good club like that. It does seem a bit out of whack, and I just hope that they might think about it and think, this is not great PR. We've made a bit of an error of judgment. Or maybe they're just thinking when the games are back, he'll come back. I don't know what officially has been said, but he could still be doing stuff, like Andy said, on TV or going around the hospitals and doing bits and pieces. He could still be out there in the community.
Exactly. You hit the nail on the head. I think Arsenal have got a reputation for doing the right thing in these kind of things historically. So this one just doesn't sit right. It just seems to be what's the reason? There could be a reason that none of us know, obviously. But for me, it does seem like a big own goal, and I hope that they do something about it because even now, having Glamour at the stadium, even without fans, it's still sort of nice thing. It's nice to see on the television. He's such an awesome mascot.
It might be like Frankenstein's monster, though, Peter. He might come back to you and say, "You owe me a life. You created me." He's going to have to have to give him a job in your office. He's going to have to work in recruitment in the games industry.
If he's listening, give me a call, Jerry. We'll sort something out. Honestly, that would be fantastic. And if that costume just sat, in a corridor somewhere at the Emirates, then I wouldn't mind loaning it for a bit, really. It just feels fantastic to walk around the house, in the thing that I kind of created at 11. So there's all kinds of angles I've been thinking about with this recently. But incredibly strange decision. I really hope that, for Jerry himself and the others, I think there's 55 people made redundant. It's not just him, obviously. So it's like, you just think, hope that sense wins out in the end with this stuff.
Good stuff.
I wouldn't imagine it's that fragrant after a summer of football.
Yeah, it might be a bit. I mean, he might need a fumigator.
He's going to be replaced by the new mascot, Unai Saurus. It's based on Unai Emery. Yeah.
Is it really?
He goes around going, "Good evening.
Good evening." He only comes out for night games.
That's right.
That'd be fantastic. Well, lovely to talk to you, Peter. It's a great story. All the best.
All the best.
There we are. Peter Lovell there, the then 11-year-old who created Gunnosaurus. But there is
his
a head
letter
of steam.
Is fantastic that he wrote with the whole thing, his whole concept of it. It was brilliant.
Very un-Arsenal like this. But anyway, we'll keep an eye on things. £9,966 already raised.
Incredible.
GoFundMe, save Gunnosaurus. It's and you see Valencia. They said they'd signed him yesterday. They put out some social media stuff. They were suggesting he go to Spurs. If Tottenham could sign him just to wind him up,
he really could.
Put him in a Tottenham, he wouldn't do it, would he? I can't see that.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Frank Sinatra.
That works, big band.
Brilliant,
it?
Isn't it?
Some songs don't. As is, I never got on with Frank's version of Mrs. Robinson. You ever heard that?
Yeah.
Not for me.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
But some do, and that does. That is our old mate Paul Carrick, a regular guest here on the show. Last time we saw him, he was chatting about touring, of course, forthcoming tour. He's often on the road around the UK and Europe. But, of course, the pandemic has put paid to that. But he has news of how you can see him live over the next couple of weeks, and he joins us now. Good afternoon, Paul.
Hello, Paul. Andy, you okay?
Yeah, good, lovely thanks. To talk to you. That's great. That works really well.
What,
that's from a,
what did you play? I missed it.
We played the swing version of How Long.
Oh, okay, yeah. Well, we've tried it every other way.
But it's this was is, you work with a sort of big band in Germany, is that right, for this?
Yeah, it's something I did about 10 years ago. They invited me over out of the blue to make a Christmas album, and I went over, and it was a lot of fun. And I've done odds and sods over the years, usually go over at Christmas and do a couple of concerts, but So they got this TV special, and they needed a guest vocalist. And they, you know, they asked me if I fancied it. And I went over, we did this TV special, did a whole range of repertoire. You know, they worked up a couple of my tunes, and we did some classics and that. And they said, well, if you want to put it out as a CD or an album, you know, feel free. So we just put it out for the fans. It's a bit of a sideline, but it was fun. It was great. I enjoyed it.
It's called Another Side, is that right?
Yeah. That's right, yeah.
You've got there's something, there's Come Rain or Come Shine, and Danny Boy's on there, Got You Under My Skin. So got a lot of sort of standards as well as some bits and some Nick Lowe song on there, say Ray Charles.
Yeah, I think the Ray Charles thing is a bit, you know, that's my favourite. Sticks and Stones, a great Ray Charles song. That's more my kind of neck of the woods. You know, a few of the other songs are a bit challenging, you know.
But
I enjoyed it. I really did, yeah.
Did you have a hand in the arrangements? Because obviously, you know, some of these songs are yours. So, I mean, is it? Did you sort of work with them on that, or did you just rock up and sing them?
I'd love to say I did, but no. I mean, these are proper musicians. I'm an old cowboy, you know. I mean, I'm totally self-taught. You know, I can't even read music. But no, as I say, I've had this relationship with them for a while now, and I just said, you know, if you get on with it. And as you say, I rocked up to Stuttgart, and there's the band is set up. You got 16-17 piece horn section on one side, you got a 12 piece string section on the other, me in the middle with a mic, and it's one take wonders, you know. It's so I could have I can't help feeling I could have sung this better and that better, but it was still a great thing, and it's captured live, you know. So
brilliant.
Yeah.
And you're doing a live performance, aren't you, online, that people will be able
That's
to watch?
Right.
Tell us a bit about
that. Well, it's a bit of a mad punt, but it's a week on Thursday at 8:30. But it's my normal band with the full kit and caboodle. I mean, because, you know, we had a whole year of touring lined up. We managed to get 30 gigs, I think it was, under our belt, but then we were supposed to go to Germany and Holland and Belgium, Australia, but wasn't to be. And so we've just been sitting there twiddling our thumbs in that sense, waiting for things to open up. And, you know, it's not been looking too optimistic. So we took a fantastic venue in Leeds, Town Hall, and took the whole touring setup in there, the lights, the staging, the full band. And it's going to go out on a week on Thursday, as I say. And to access it, you have to go to my website, which is paulcarrick.net, and you have to get a pass. I'm afraid it is pay-per-view, so you have to get 15 quid it is. But, I mean, if there's 3, 4, 5, dare I say 6 of you, then you're not too bad. And it's on there for 24 hours, and I think it's going to be great. I mean, I haven't seen it, but, you know, we had 12 cameras in there. It's a proper job, you know.
Yeah. And obviously people who were coming to see you this year, I'm sure they'll be up for spending the money, because they were committed to doing that anyway.
Well, it's a lot cheaper
than
going to a gig, and, you know, you're sat at home. So it's not ideal in terms of, you know, we're all wondering where we're going with this, but it was great for the band to have something to work towards, you know, and look forward to. And it was, people say, was it a bit weird, no audience? So obviously it was a little bit, but first and foremost, you know, we're musicians and we enjoy playing together. And we certainly did after 6 months of not doing. It was great.
We're going to talk about, we're going to talk to a sports psychologist later on about footballers playing in front of empty stadiums and the effect that has. And I was just going to say that to you. It must be weird because, you know, there's being in the studio and there's playing live. And, you know,
getting that buzz off the crowd.
Yeah, getting a buzz off of people watching you play and then finishing a song, big ending to a song, and then there's silence. Yeah. It must be a bit of a weird experience.
Well, a little bit. But as I say, not as weird as I thought it might be, because it was that good to get back playing with the full band. I mean, we've all been doing bits and pieces from home and all that, and which is okay. We're doing what we can, people. But, you know, it was just, as I say, great. I mean, I've had these lads together 20 years, and we know a lot of this stuff back to front. But, you know, everybody did a little bit of work at home. And when we got to the venue and it was everything set up, and we just did a little sound check and then went for it as if we were playing a normal gig.
Brilliant.
And yeah.
We should talk a bit of Sheffield Wednesday, because obviously they've started with the handicap of a 12-point deduction, but win, a couple of draws, one defeat.
Yeah.
I mean, it could have been worse, couldn't it?
Oh, it could have been worse, yeah. And it a bit unlucky on Saturday, last-minute sort of injury time equaliser from QPR. They probably deserved it, but, we were obviously hoping to get another three big points there. At least... I mean, I've seen the games online and everything, and they seem to be up for it, up for the fight, which is, there's been a lot of changes. I think it brought in some decent players. And, I'm optimistic that we'll be okay.
Yeah, our championship expert tells us that you will survive.
He thinks there's three worse teams than you in the league.
I hope so. I mean... I think we're a whole lot better than we were second half of last season. First off, we weren't bad. Second off, God knows what happened. it was obviously something up, because we just hit terrible form. It was just as well we had a decent first half. And it looked for a minute like we was going to go down. But I think, as I say, they look to have a lot more fight in them. Obviously, it's early days. But I'm hoping they'll be okay. Yeah. I think they will.
We're hearing today that the O2 is going to be open for some gigs, socially distanced gigs, and a few venues have started to open up. So we hope football goes the same way as well, really. I mean, I think with all these stories of allowing a few thousand people into the O2, it does put more pressure on the government to say, hey,
what about football stadiums outdoors?
They're outdoors and they're bigger venues, and you can get, even if you get 20% in there, that should still be okay with all the protocols.
You would have thought so. I mean, I've been thinking that way for about football. And as you say, you got like Wembley the other day, the international. And you think, well, they could lose a few people in there. Easily. But obviously, it's a different thing for venues where people are cooped up. But let's hope. I am optimistic. I'm hearing things that, we just got to get on top of it. But in the meantime, people are doing what they can.
Yeah.
And I've got a little studio here at home, which is great. I've been using the time working on new stuff and a few collaborations, remotely and all that stuff. So it's not been too tragic, apart from the fact we've got no money coming in.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Well, Paul, lovely to talk to you. PaulCarrick.net, all the details of the gig are on there. Now you can watch Paul's show from Victoria Hall in Leeds, and the album Another Side is also available now. We'll play out with another one people will know from your back catalogue, the song with Mike and the Mechanics, The Living Years. So we'll catch up with you soon, Paul. All the best.
Thanks a lot, lads.
Take care. Appreciate it. Cheers.
We'll say it aloud. Can listen as well as you hear.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Barry Glendening, of course, you'll know from the warm-up every Sunday, was tweeting earlier on. And he made a good point. He said, despite watching Sky Sports News for four straight hours earlier today, there was not a single mention of Wilf Zaha being linked with any kind of move at all, which is possibly the most interesting thing to not happen today.
Brilliant.
And it's a good point, though, isn't it? Because everything, no one really, he never came up, Wilf. I mean, no. I think Palace had made it clear what was going on. But you would have thought someone might have made a late move and just chanced their arm. Maybe they did, we just didn't hear about it.
He's just got to settle down and make the best of it. It's a kind of golden handcuffs, really, isn't it? You know, he signed the contract, so what can he do? He shouldn't have signed that long-term contract, basically. Yeah.
I saw him on social media having a bit of a pop back at Cass, who wasn't massively impressed with his performance. It wasn't one of his best games, was it? I think he'd be the first to say that. Against your lot
he was out. He wasn't in the game at all.
No.
Talking of Hal Robson-Kanu, we wish him well, of course, and bumped into him, didn't I? About five or six weeks ago.
I know you saw him in the garden.
I ordered some of his turmeric boosters.
Oh, have you? Have you been on? Because that's when Hal joined us on the show. He's in the turmeric booster.
I don't know.
Business,
I was reading about it this morning. I thought they sound good. I think I might get some of those. So I'll let you know how I do with them.
What will they do for you, Andy?
They're supposed to be natural anti-inflammatory.
Okay, so are you feeling quite inflamed at the moment?
I'm very inflamed.
Okay, fair enough.
Lots of things inflame me, let's be honest.
That's very true, yeah. I mean, one of which I can't actually share with the audience because you'd be shocked and horrified who he's turned on now.
Well, I'm not the only person that thinks
we won't go down that route because people will hate you, Andy, and we wouldn't.
I know,
want
you. Yeah, you know. Yeah. Yes. it's not this bloke, though. A Korean YouTube star who plans to visit Plymouth so the fans can hear his Devon accent. Song Jae Kong, 29, is basically...
seen this lad. He's on YouTube. He does the regional accent.
All right, me lover, he says.
He does the regional accent.
Yeah, he's
going to
release his song, I've Got a Brand New Hyundai.
Yeah. I've got a brand new Honda tractor.
Yes.
But no, I've seen
that's
him.
That's Japanese, you'd say.
Oh, yeah. I
went for the South Korean.
Oh, you were pure. You were pure.
For the
which
purest.
Is, that's, you've workshopped me there, Andy, and you were right. You were right to do so. But, I've heard his work before. He takes you around he's done Cockney. He works. He's very good at that.
Maybe
appear and we'll put him forward to Paul Whitehouse when Only Fools and Horses comes back. But he does all the regional accents are great. We pass them on to the people of South Korea. So if they ever come to England, they'll be
good
over.
Good service he's providing.
Then if he does Scottish accent, I don't know how well that go down.
There you go. This bloke Anon. You can see why he signed
can't
himself
be his name.
Anon.
Can
it? No. Yeah. It could be Annan, I suppose, because he spelt it wrong. Annon could be his name. But he's written to the Daily Star.
Yeah.
He said, it must be my age. I fancy Janine, who lost 74 pounds on the Weight Watchers ad. I think she looks lovely. All right then, mate.
It's interesting.
It's a strange one, though, isn't it?
Annon. I remember someone telling me...
No wonder he didn't want to admit who he was called.
Someone telling me a tale of getting in an Uber, and it said, driver's name, Fanu. And got in the cab, saying, hello, Fanu, how are you? Just drop me here, Fanu. And the driver was looking a bit nonplussed, then realised that FNU stood for first name unknown.
It's not good.
Calling the lad Fanu for 10 minutes, not great, is it?
Not ideal, really.
Lee Bertram's been in touch, the manager of Hemel Hempstead. I want to go and see Hemel play, but of course they are too far up the footballing food chain.
Oh, that's a shame. Yeah.
Crowd, so I will do once that changes. He says, I'm going for Attenborough, mate. As the person you've turned on. No, it's not. It's not. We can't tell you, Lee. He's actually worse than that. He's not turned on Attenborough. But you can keep guessing, but I'm afraid I cannot tell you because it would make Andy very unpopular.
No, it would make me look bad.
And I don't want these days, he is Mr. Popular.
Oh, yes, why so?
Yeah.
The Sun had a whole page. I'm fascinated by this. They had a whole page devoted to the Rooney-Vardy spat and letters page and people offering their opinions.
Weighing in.
And it's going to go to court, and it's going to probably anyway.
Yeah, they might settle beforehand.
They might, you know, but I think the Sun could settle this. I don't blame them for not doing this, and I know exactly why they're not doing it, because they're getting loads of ink out of it and lots of stories. But they could settle this story tomorrow. They know whether it was Rebecca Vardy who gave them the story or somebody who knows. They know who gave them the stories. They couldn't they? They could just say, well, actually, she's right or she's right.
You never give up a source, do you?
Well, you know, but in this case, you know, if it goes to a big, long case...
They may get a court subpoena, as Roy Hudd once said. Have you got a court subpoena?
And there's been a boom in plastic surgery, especially eye surgery, because people are doing all these Zoom calls. So
really?
Yeah, so basically, and also if you're wearing a mask, all you can see is your eyes. So it becomes like a, you know, quite a stress on having non-baggy eyes and young eyes.
So
and,
people are having work done on their eyes. That's bleak, isn't it?
Oh, it is bleak.
Bleak story, Andy.
So that's plastic surgeons, boom mics, Perspex screens, hand gel, and people who make those signs that say stay 6 metres apart.
It's worked
for them.
Okay. Somebody just bought a big house near me, and... they're doing well at the moment. They're in PPE.
Oh, really?
That's the business. That's the business to suddenly be in, isn't it?
It's very true.
That's the business to be in. Yeah.
Tony Cascarino made a very good point about how to play against Liverpool. I was quite interested to see what he said, and he basically felt that Aston Villa and Leeds had got it right. That they attacked Liverpool. He said attack the right flank, and he said that Chelsea and Arsenal showed too much respect. Sorry. I'll put the teeth in. Too much respect.
Once you get on the turmeric, mate, they'll be coming out. There's all those words. You won't be maiming anybody. As you said in the first hour, it'd be brilliant.
Instead of naming. Be brave against the champions and you'll be rewarded. I suspect Mikel Arteta and Frank Lampard will be kicking themselves. Their teams didn't take a more bold approach. And I agree with that, because last year when we played Liverpool and ran them pretty close, we were bold. Whereas this year, we're just so negative in that game. I just didn't understand that approach. It wasn't helped, obviously, by Christensen getting sent off.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. I mean, on another day. We were just watching the highlights back. They just showed the highlights back. We were talking to Hugh Woosencroft, weren't we? And then you see it go to 2-1. And we're all sitting there thinking, you've had your fun now, Villa. That's 4-2 to Liverpool.
Oh, yeah, no, absolutely.
Everything just went out the window. It was a brilliant performance.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Time then for the TalkSport Clips of the Month for September. And we'll kick off with a couple of the boys struggling with the name of a footballer. Darren Bent's going to start it. Discussing the French Bundesliga defender, everyone wanted to sign up.
I mean, yeah, Koulibaly seems to be the one that people have spoke about. But when I watched him in the Champions League, he wasn't great at all. But I like the RP Leipzig centre-half. I mean, I'm not even going to try and say his name. Upamecano.
Yeah, that's not it.
Upamecano. Upamecano. He didn't get that one right.
No, actually, it's no wonder he decided against the move to the Premier League. Hey, Mickey Gray?
So they've still got this pot of gold that they're sitting on to bring in somebody like Jadon Sancho or Emma Kumbembe, who've been talking about earlier on.
Lovely girl, Emma, isn't she? Emma Kumbembe.
Nice. My favourite.
A shining light in the Kumbembe family. So that's one clip in itself, the Upamecano clip.
That's one
clip
that you can vote for, yeah.
On to number two. This is Natalie Sawyer crunching the numbers.
So they're saying that, I don't know, semi-final losers, for example, two of those are £9 million between them. Semi-final winners win £9 million each. Then you've got the final runners-up, £900,000. Final runners-up earn £900,000, and the final winners will be £1.8 million winners. Does that make sense to you?
Nope.
Not really. No. Not really, Natalie. No.
And in a similar vein, here's Alan Brazil with a quiz question.
West Bromwich Albion go to Goodison tomorrow on game day, 12:30 kickoff. Everton's new signings, Rodriguez, created 5 chances against Spurs. Which is the most from a player in the Premier League debut since when Arsenal forward back in 2014? So let me read that again. Everton's new signing, James Rodriguez, created 5 chances against Spurs. Which is the most from a player on the Premier League debut Which Arsenal forward back? It doesn't make sense.
No, it certainly doesn't. I prefer Natalie's.
I love Alan's timing when he just backs out and then goes, doesn't make sense.
Annoyed.
Fisherman's Blues now, and here's host Nigel Botherway chatting about his occasional stand-in host, Keith Arthur. I want to go fishing.
I expect the music will be ramped up next week. I'll be away on holiday and Keith Arthur will be in the hot seat. You know how much Keith loves his music. We all know Keith used to be in a band with...
Oh, now Keith used to be in a band with. So we got a bit of a quiz for you. Yeah. So who was he in a band with? I will kick you off. I'd say Brian May. Brian May from Queen, quite possibly. You got any thoughts?
Yeah, I think he did play with Phil Carrick once, I'm pretty sure.
Who's Phil Carrick?
He's Yorkshire Spinner. Okay. I mean, Paul Carrick.
It could be. Could be Paul Weller from the Jam. Phil Carrick. Could be Paul Weller from the Jam. Might even be Flea from the Red Hot Chili Peppers. I'm just trying to guess, but we give in. Who did he play in a band with?
We all know Keith used to be in a band with Ruth from Yateley Angling Centre.
Oh, okay. I love Ruth from Yateley Angling. I've got a solo album. It's tremendous.
It's not quite the star-studded name I was expecting to hear, but there we are. So what's next then? It's an odd moment, isn't it?
Yes, it's an odd moment when something went wrong with the ads after Jenny's news bulletin.
The allegations have been made by Olivia Troy, a former aide to Vice President Mike Pence.
Talk Sport weather with QuickFit. Save time and money when you book an MOT and service together. Book online at quickfit.com today. Participating centres.
See, we added that there.
Yeah, it's exactly the same, though, isn't
but
it?
That's really? The rest of it went out. So, yeah, do you like that one?
I do, yeah. And finally, commentator Sam Matterface didn't sound massively interested in reporter Graham Beecroft's nostalgic anecdote.
Bielsa on or off the bucket?
He's off the bucket. Do you know what? I've been looking at that. It's not a bucket. It's more like, you remember when you used to see an elephant in the circus and they used to get them all 4 feet on one
Here's
thing.
Harrison in behind the defence.
Yeah, concentrating on the game, really. Yeah, but despite that snub, Beaky was determined to get to the end of his tale.
And just to finish that thing I was talking about before, don't you think the bucket, in inverted commas, looks more like one of those things an elephant used to stand on in the circus when elephants were allowed to be circus animals? Look at it. It's got stars on it and everything. Oh,
here's Click inside the area.
Yeah, there is a game on, Beaky. Not just we're enjoying the
story.
Four
throughs, a really exciting game. Yeah. Beaky obsessed with Bielsa's elephant bucket.
Bielsa's elephant bucket and Phil Carrick. So, what do we like? Do we like the boys attempting the Leipzig player's name? Do we like Natalie crunching the numbers? Alan with his quiz question. Who was Keith Arthur in a band with? The Dalek like advert? Or Beaky's circus elephant story? You can go to Twitter at TSHNJ, TSHANDJ. We'll have two semi-finals. And then the winners of the two semi-finals, much as this works and everything else, will go into the final and you can go and vote again in the final. So we'll keep you in touch with voting. But go and vote for your favourite at TSHNJ. It's TSHANDJ. And we will play the winner once again for you just before Goffey and Adrian join us at 4 with Drive. So, at TSHNJ. We look forward to getting your votes in. In the meantime, Andy, do you have anything you'd like to share with the class?
Well, I wasn't expecting that.
Are you going to vote? I've got the votes up here, Andy. I'm going to vote for my favourite. Okay. All right, then I'm voting for one in one semi-final and I've voted for one in the other ones. And they are the ones currently in the lead at this very early stage. So go along and vote for your faves.
That's good. What was that thing about? Hold on, let's see if I can find it. No, I don't think I'm going to be. Oh, yes, here it is. The Loch Ness Monster has been spotted in a sonar image, apparently.
Is it? I thought you were going to say in a nightclub.
Exactly. And I'm reporting him.
Yeah.
But he'll probably get away with anything. Won't cost him anything. Director of Cruise Loch Ness, Ronald McKenzie, said he knew he'd found something eye-catching on his boat's equipment.
Yeah.
We have real state-of-the-art sonar. It doesn't lie, he said. But it still doesn't mean it's Nessie.
Have you been up to Loch Ness, Andy?
Yes,
they've got like a
little long time ago.
They've got like a little museum you can go in, and they have sort of sonar and all the various stories over. Ooh, that'd be the phone. People have been here. People that was dance. People have been here before. Dance. People have been here before, of course, claiming that they've got the Loch Ness Monster on sonar, and it's a log or something. So I mean, we won't
maybe
be
spotted my shirt that I was wearing the other day.
Dancer's asked a question. He says, "I'm driving to Southend listening
to
you."
Nice, isn't it?
It's not in the Alan Partridge sense, I take it, Dance. Those to go and do a commentary, of course, I'm sure, on the EFL Trophy. He says, when does a clip become a classic clip, the kind that gets played out every Christmas Eve?
That's a very good question.
Yeah, I don't know, that's a very good question. What makes it make the cut, really?
I think we have to really love it. It has to appeal to us personally, doesn't it, really?
Yeah.
You know, you've all got our favourites, and, yeah, then you just gets played a couple of times, and then... I don't know. It's a very good question, Dance. Yeah. We've never really looked into it.
We will do now, though, Dance. And good luck tonight in commentary. I'll take it that'll be for TalkSport 2 this evening. We've got a load of EFL trophy games.
I don't know if you've
games.
Ever written a begging letter to anybody.
Do you know what? No, I haven't.
Honestly.
Have you ever written a begging letter
haven't,
to anybody?
And I can't really see the point of it.
Who would put their hand up? Who'd admit to that?
Well,
I'll write three or four begging letters a week to people just on the off chance. You know, if you throw enough at the wall, some of it's bound to stick.
But Donald Fear, who won Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, you may remember a few weeks back.
Oh, yeah, won £1 million. Yeah.
He's been stunned by the deluge of requests for money he's received from around the world. It's a very odd thing. I mean, you know, look, it's £1 million. It's a lot of money, but he's got a family. He's got the rest of his life to live. He's not going to be... doling it out as if he's some sort of, like, you know, charity institute. It's incredible. I don't know what people think, you know.
There are some very good causes out there and some desperate people. You can understand it sometimes, can't you?
No, I can understand it. But, you know, generally it won't be that, will it? You know, that's the thing.
Okay, we have a chancer like you. have you ever written a begging letter? Did you strike me as somebody who might have done? Apart from the one I'm going to write to David Beckham one day as a distant member of the family.
That's true.
Very distant. Anyway,
what about pensioner Alan Foster?
What about him, Andy?
I love this story because it was in
About pensioner Alan Foster?
He regularly gets stopped
this show in
by...
a nutshell.
Exactly.
What happened to him?
He gets stopped by strangers because he looks like Bruce Forsyth.
Yeah.
The great grandfather, 87, is a spitting image. Well, he sort of looks like him, but Bruce died 3 years ago.
Why would you say to him, hello, mate, you look like the late Bruce Forsyth, are you him? Yeah. Well, clearly not.
Clearly not. That was my point, really. I thought it was a bit of a strange
story. I'm not.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
We spoke to the then 11-year-old lad, clearly not anymore, who came up with the whole concept of Gunnosaurus. Yeah. At Arsenal and talked about what's been going on at the club after that news yesterday. Well, Fletch is here and we've got some breaking sports news, Fletch.
We have some big news coming out of the red half of North London involving Gunnosaurus and Mesut Ozil. He's tweeted in the last few moments to say, I was so sad that Jerry Key, aka our famous and loyal mascot Gunnosaurus, an integral part of our club, was being made redundant after 27 years. As such, he's offering to reimburse the club with the full salary of the big green guy, as he calls him, for as long as I'll be an Arsenal player, so Jerry can continue his job that he loves so much. So you heard it here first. Mesut Ozil offering to bail out the Gunnosaurus. Breaking news from North London here on Talk Sport.
He'll be annoyed when he finds out that Gunnosaurus is on $360,000 a week, though, really. Be straight into the agent having a word.
It's a win-win situation because it's a tax write-off for Mesut, isn't it, really?
Is that the route you've gone down, is it?
Yeah.
Really? So, nice touch, though. Well done to him.
Yeah, good.
Anyway, this is great news for the mascot fraternity. It just so happens that we're going to speak to a mascot now, but not about mascot issues. He was one of the many people, our next guest, who ran the London Marathon at a distance, of course, in this case, in Cleethorpes. It's brilliant, though. 16.1 million was raised for thousands of charities in the virtual race. It was a fantastic idea.
It was a brilliant thing, but, of course, normally it raises about 66 million.
Yeah.
So, you know, you realise that charities still missing out.
And this is James Whaley. He is the Grimsby Town mascot, and he ran around Blundell Park 130 times, I believe.
And we're going to be able to establish, did he run around the whole stadium or just around the pitch?
I think he ran around the pitch. We'll find out. Hi, James.
Hi, good afternoon.
You ran around the pitch, didn't you, on the old running track or the kind of little perimeter bit, I take it. That's what you did, didn't you?
Yeah, just around the touchline, yes.
Yeah. So, I mean, look, touch monotonous, I think it's fair to say. When did you start to get bored?
After about three laps, I think.
Did you have any sort of, it'd be difficult, but did you have anybody sort of egging you on, encouraging you?
Obviously, with the current situation we're all aware about, the only person that was allowed in was my wife. So it was just me and my wife and my two kids, that was it.
Oh, so they would,
they would have cheered you.
Come on,
they?
Daddy, come on. And you get, after about three or four laps, they're going, yeah, we get the idea, you're running round the pitch. So maybe, did they flag a bit, James?
Yeah, definitely. I think my daughter did about three quarters of it with me. Bless her. I was quite concerned of how much she was doing. She's only six, but either I was going slow or she was doing too much. I don't know.
That's great.
So, so you are Mighty Mariner, who's like an old boy, isn't he? With a flat cap and big sides and stuff. I've seen him. But you didn't run in the mascot suit, although that is a staple of the London Marathon, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It is. Mighty Mariner. Obviously, a lot of people often ask me what he is, but he's an old fisherman, but I don't know if he looks like a scarecrow or... he's an old fisherman. But no, I ran in my half Grimsby Town shirt, half Lincoln City shirt, and my Scunthorpe shorts. There's a bit of a rivalry kind of thing.
Yeah, did that mean fans of all those clubs give you a bit of support rather than making it just a Grimsby thing?
Yeah, definitely. It's been a two-year journey, really. So last year we visited 92 grounds in 92 hours with a Mighty Mariner and poacher from Lincoln. And the last couple of years, it's seen us raise nearly 60 grand for terminally ill children. So,
oh, brilliant. Great stuff. Yeah, that's brilliant.
And how much training did you do for the marathon?
Well, that's the question. I always knew that things were going to get cancelled. And I'll be honest, 3 days before this virtual London Marathon, I wasn't doing it. Right. I got a phone call from the media saying, "Hi, James, what time are you starting on Sunday? We're looking to do a little thing."
No, you're joking.
I can't say to you on the radio what I said, but so I did one run in the last 2 months. But what would you rather? Would you rather the tarmac or London, or would you rather Blundell Park? Come on.
Yeah.
Blundell Park.
And how did you do? I mean, time-wise, what did you do?
About 5.5 hours, I think.
Right. Okay, cool. That's still not bad. You got round, you got finished with very little training in recent training.
What about After Effects? How
are you
been
feeling?
Yeah, since then.
Oh, mate, I tell you, because I was running round and round and I was feeling it in my left knee so much, I'm standing there like a flamingo on one leg. I tell you, it's a nightmare.
I suppose you could have reversed and gone, you know, back on yourself and gone sort of turn right rather than turn left. But...
Yeah, we did. We did one hour one way, 1 hour the other way, 1 hour one way. But yeah, it was... But yeah, obviously, I think that's a minor issue because I was worried about getting laid off after I heard about old Gunnosaurus, eh?
Yeah, but what good news. That Meza, I mean, it's bizarre, isn't it? Mesut Ozil, if you heard that, he's going to pay Gunnosaurus his wages and all the time he's still at Arsenal. So what a lovely gesture.
You know, it's lovely. I can only imagine the night before the announcement, Arsenal sat round and said, "What's the worst thing we can do?" And they come up with that. Because, you know, even myself at Grimsby Town, mascots are such a pivotal figure and they do so much for the club. And I had the pleasure of meeting Gunnosaurus last year and such a great guy and just so much for the club. And I can't think of anything worse, eh?
Yeah, and what have you been doing during matches? I mean, are you still standing there and encouraging the players and seen by the fans who are watching it, you know, on
remotely?
Remotely?
No, I'm banned as well at the moment.
Really? Is that, I suppose it's because it's another person in the ground. That's the thing, isn't it? They're keeping to the very bare minimum the people that can be in the stadium. So I suppose the mascots are not seen as key staff, unfortunately. So that's why they keep you out.
No, and definitely. And as well, like I was just saying about Gunnosaurus, the 90 minutes with the mascots at the match for is kind of a small part of being a mascot, really, because it's right now is... you know, I'm very much in the community and schools and open days, and if they are open days, and you know, so keeping busy that way, really.
How did you get the gig? How did you become the mascot?
I'm friends with the old mascot, and he hung his boots up after 16 years, and I was given the proposition. So there's nothing wrong with dressing up on a Saturday, so why not?
No, you get to see the game. Do you sometimes get involved, giving the players a hug and stuff like that?
Yeah, definitely. I always remember. I said to someone, I said, "Are you allowed to run on the pitch as a mascot?" And the guy said, "Who's going to tell you off?" Fair one, you know. And the thing is with a mascot, the mascots that are well known are the ones that, you know, close to the wind are the ones that you know, mess about a little bit. So you've got to you know, play it cool, but you've got to have a laugh, haven't you?
You don't wind up the away end now if you're winning easily.
I can't remember the last time we won, to be fair.
Yeah. Maybe they need you back. I mean, I've only had a couple of games, but it's not a great start, of course, is it particularly?
No, it's difficult. It's difficult, and obviously with Ian Holloway coming, we're expecting good things, and we've not managed to get going yet. So hopefully this weekend away at Bolton, we can put things right.
Have you met Ollie yet?
I have, and what a guy!
He's a great man.
Yeah, he's great.
Great fun. I think your job's safe all the time. Ollie's there. I don't think he'd see off the mascot. So
he actually introduced me on one of his speaking nights as the guy with a head the same size as the mascot.
So look, let's see if we can raise a bit more money after your fine effort. So tell us who the charity that's benefiting from your marathon.
So it's When You Wish Upon a Star, and ultimately these guys, the take terminally ill children to Lapland and other things, but that's what they do. So if you just go on the Grimsby Town website, there's an article on there, and the fundraising link is on there.
Yeah, remember David English, our old friend Lord Bunbury, used to go on the Christmas trip, didn't he? Quite often on the When You Wish Upon a Star, and said it was.
People was asking me about the challenge, and what? When you meet some of these children, the battles they're having, running around a football pitch 130 times is nothing, is it really?
Absolutely. But well done, though.
Well done, good man.
Well done, James. Thanks for joining us. Justgiving.com/fundraising. /James-Whaley WHALEY3. But if I'm sure that they can track you down on Just Giving. So yeah, good to talk to you. All the best. There we are. That's James Whaley.
We tried to loan out Stanford the Lion, but he didn't want to go to West Ham. I'm not going.
It's great. I mean, it does mean that I know Valencia, Tottenham had shown an interest. Other clubs had shown an interest in Gunnosaurus. So it does mean he'll be staying at Arsenal.
It's good news.
I wonder what make him happier, Dave, Thomas Partey or Gunnosaurus getting his wages paid.
Thomas Partey.
It's a bit embarrassing for the club. I hope they take Mesut Ozil up on it. It's a nice gesture, meant in the right way.
It'd be terrible if they don't.
we'll see.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Thanks to everybody who voted for the September Clips of the Month. We have our winner with 57% of the vote, beating out Beaky and his circus elephant story that Sam wasn't interested in. It is Big Alan Brazil and that quiz question.
West Bromwich Albion go to Goodison tomorrow on game day, 12:30 kickoff. Everton's new signings, Rodriguez, created 5 chances against Spurs. Which is the most from a player in the Premier League debut since when Arsenal forward back in 2014? So let me read that again. Everton's new signing, James Rodriguez, created 5 chances against Spurs. Which is the most from a player on the Premier League debut? Which Arsenal forward back? It doesn't make sense.
Give up.
The timing is, doesn't make sense. I love that. It's very good. Thanks to everybody who voted. We're back tomorrow. We'll be marking a great footballing anniversary from someone who was right at the heart of it on the day. So have a fine evening. Coming up next, Goffey and Adrian will drive.
Alan was right. It didn't make any sense whatsoever.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
There we are. That clip, that Alan clip, is a joy. So thanks to everybody who voted, and we will catch up with you tomorrow.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.